Bible somewhere, haven't it? But anyway, we'll get there with that. It's still out there. Okay. But Jesus has been interested, and we've been interested in his prayer life, and Jesus is interested in us having our prayer time. And certainly, we need to. You know, we all find ourselves in days when we got issues, we got problems, we got stuff going on. And I began to think about that while I was studying on this thought. Look with me in the book of Matthew, the Gospel of Matthew. Look in Matthew chapter number 26, and just in reading some of these things, and you read over in the Gospel of Mark, and then you read in Luke, and you see this same story. But when you begin to read it and you begin to see what it says about Jesus, I feel a little bit embarrassed about me and my prayer life and the things that he went through. But I want you to read this with me, if you will. And as I said, we've been looking at Jesus' prayer life, and we saw how that he prayed for his disciples. He prayed about the glory that he had before, and he prayed then for all of us who were, as he says, not of this fold, those men that were there with him, but those that would come afterwards, and that, as I say, was us. And then in after all of those things happen, he leaves that scene, and he begins to go across the Kidron Valley, and he heads to the place that we call Gethsemane. And look with me there, if you will, in verse number 36. It says, "Then cometh Jesus with them unto a place called Gethsemane, and saith unto his disciples, Sit ye here while I go and pray yonder. And he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, and began to be sorrowful and very heavy. Then saith he unto them, My soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death. Tarry ye here and watch with me. And he went a little further and fell on his face and prayed, saying, O my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. And he cometh unto his disciples and findeth them asleep, and saith unto Peter, What? Could you not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray that you enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. He went away again the second time and prayed, saying, O Father, if this cup may not pass away from me, except I drink it, thy will be done. And he came and he found them asleep again, for their eyes were heavy. And he left them, went away again, and prayed the third time, saying the same words. Then cometh he to his disciples, and saith unto them, Sleep on now, and take your rest. Behold, the hour is at hand, and the Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. Rise, and let us be going. Behold, he is at hand that doth betray me. Let's have a word of prayer tonight. Father, thank you, Lord, again for the evening. Thank you again for the word of God. Thank you for the songs and the good spirit of God there in them. And I pray you just add your blessing to the reading of this word. Give us your grace and your direction, your wisdom, everything that we can gather from that. And I pray you just give us exactly what we need in Jesus tonight. And we'll just thank you and we'll love you and we'll give you praise for all that you're doing for us. For we ask it in the name of Jesus. Amen. And amen. Amen. As I said, I want us to look at this tonight, and we're going to talk about Matthew, these few verses in 26, verses 36 through 46. And I want you to realize or think about it this way. Jesus prays the prayer of submission. Jesus prays the prayer of submission. Jesus brings himself into a place where he is totally submitted unto God. And, you know, I believe that's something you and I, as I said, when I begin to read this, begin to study on this and look at some of the background of it, I'll guarantee you, you and I ought to be ashamed of ourselves because of our slackness and our lack of having a submissive attitude and mindset toward the things of God. I mean, here's Jesus. Jesus is God himself. He is the Son of God, And Jesus finds himself submitting himself to do the Father's will. Amen? So what are you saying, preacher? I'm saying this. Man, me and you ought to be really aiming to do the same thing, and even so much the more as God needs, or does it need, well, God wants to use you and me in his purposes. And to do that, we've got to come to a place of submission unto him. Submission unto him. So let's look at that just a few minutes, if you would, tonight. And let's talk about as Jesus prays the prayer of submission. First of all, let's look at this. I want you to notice Jesus and his submission to his Father. Jesus comes to a place of submission to his Father. Look what it says there in verse number 36. It said, "Then cometh Jesus with them unto a place called Gethsemane, and saith unto the disciples, Sit ye here while I go and pray yonder." I mean, first of all, if you will, notice with me the place. Let's just kind of look at this place, if you will. The Bible tells us, and I believe in looking at it, you'll see that that name, Gethsemane, is given only two times in your Bible, but it's pretty important and it's pretty telling as to what it is. The name Gethsemane means oil press. And it's a place in this garden where there were olive trees, and those olive trees are picked. And they're taken to a place where there is a large flat surface with a rolling stone that can be wheeled around it in a circular motion, and it crushes the oil out of those olives. It dispenses the olives, and they go into a trough-type system the way they have set up, ones I've seen. They have a trough-type system where the oil goes down, and it's gathered at the end of it after it goes through a series of sort of filters or cleansing places, get all the impurities out of it, and it goes down into this gathering spot after it's been crushed. But I tell you, the key thing is this. It's got to be crushed. The olives have got to be crushed. Can I tell you, the place that Jesus goes to, it's a place where he's going to undergo the pressure like no one's ever seen. I mean, he's going to be in this place, and it's a place of pressure. Now, again, you and I have never seen pressure like this. As you begin to read this, and you see what the Bible says about Jesus being in this place of pressure, I mean, you can begin to see that building as you hear it said there in verse 37. He took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee and began to be sorrowful and very heavy. I mean, there was something that was moving into this scene, into this place, and it began as a pressure upon the Lord Jesus himself. There is pressure there. I mean, there's so much pressure. Hey, but I want to tell you this, man. It is a place where, as I mentioned, the olives are crushed, but it is a place where that oil was poured out. It went through that process. It went into a little basin, and it went through a series of troughs, and it made its way down to a place where they gathered it. But it was those olives were pouring out the oil that was in them because that was what was needed. That was very essential in the day. In the nation of Israel, olive oil was one of the most important products. They used it for cooking. They used it for medicine. They used it in just the simple anointing. They used it in their religious services. It was an important part of the daily life of the Jew. It was something that everybody knew something. And here's Jesus. He's in a place of all of this pressure, and he begins pouring out something that is very worthwhile and necessary to these people. He's under the pressure. He's under the pressure. The pressure's coming. The pressure is building. The pressure is added. And it seems like there's nobody that understands the pressure but him. And maybe that's the way that God the Father intended this. But he's brought him to this place of the pressure. He's brought him to this place of the pouring out of himself. And he's brought him to this place where he's going to get some production out of the life of our Lord Jesus. All this is something that happens. But can I tell you, at the end of the way, there is something that's going to be produced from it. Just like with the olives. They go through the rigors of the pressure. They go through the rigors of all the pouring out. But they also wind up with a product that is necessary, that is useful, and that is a blessing to everybody that uses it. Can I tell you, thank God, that's what Jesus was. He had to go through this pressure. He had to go through this place to get to be in the place of submission to His Father. He said, Father, I'll go. And in the book of Hebrews, there's a rendering of a verse in the Old Testament in the book of the Psalms, and it says, I delight to do Thy will, O God. I mean, Jesus is here, and these things are going to happen. But brother, I'm telling you, He's doing it in submission to His Father and the Father's will. So you see that you got the place. And I want you to notice, second of all, I want you to notice this. We'll talk about the pain. There is pain that is going to come in the life of the Lord Jesus. You see what it says here? It says that He began to be sorrowful and very heavy. And over in the book of Luke, it tells us that as He prayed here in the garden, that the pressure, the heaviness, the weight of all this was so much upon Him that His sweat became as great drops of blood. I mean, I'm talking about there was pain. And as a matter of fact, you look in the book of Luke, and it's in chapter 22, but as you look in the book of Luke, it says that He being in an agony. I mean, this is not just simple going off somewhere and getting alone and praying and saying, oh God, I need Your help and blah, 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 like we do so many times. Brother, this was a massive, I mean, heavy undertaking that came and it brought pain upon the Lord Jesus Christ. There was pain. What kind of pain was it? Well, let me tell you, the most of it, the biggest part, it was a mental pain upon Him. But now, that mental pain, I mean, here He is, as I say, look at that where we just read. It said He began to be sorrowful and very heavy. Jesus is getting ready to go to His Father and pray about what's in front of Him. Jesus knows what's in front of Him. Boy, isn't it good sometimes me and you don't know what's in front of us? Because if we knew, we'd say, nah, I'm not going to do it. I ain't going there. I can't. Oh, that'd be too much. I can't stand that. I'm not going to be able to go through. You know, we'd make all kinds of excuses and have, oh, man, I can't, you know. But Jesus goes through it knowing that He's going to die. And not just that He's going to die, but that He's going to die with all of His disciples turning against Him, going to die betrayed by one of those that was there with Him, going to die because of the lies of the Pharisees, going to die because He's been scourged and whipped and hung on a cross. I mean, that's what He's got to look forward to, and He understands every bit of it. Now, if you knew what you was going to go through, boy, you might get to that place. The Bible says here that He began to be sorrowful. He's in this place, and it's a place of pain. It's mental pain. But then that mental turns into physical. And then before it's over, it turns into massive pain that's there within our Savior. You see, those words that we read, it said He began to be sorrowful and very heavy. When you look at that word, very heavy, I mean, we don't really understand maybe the wording of it in our language. We just think, well, He's under some immense pressure. It don't just mean that. It means He began to get into the place of mental depression. You ever been there? You ever known anybody that's been there where you just got depressed and you gave up hope and you didn't think there was anything left and you didn't know what to do? But Jesus is going through this pain for me and for you. Amen? Jesus is going through all of this for me and you and our salvation. So, you see, in submission to the Father, he's there and he comes to the place of submission. He finds that there's pain in this submission. I'll tell you something. When you get ready to do what God wants you to, sometimes there's some pain that comes along with it. You find yourself submitted to God. And buddy, God didn't say, well, this is going to be an easy road. This is going to be a bed of roses. This is going to be sweet, and boy, you won't have any problems. No, sir. Go ask the Apostle Paul. Paul talked about how that he was beaten, how that he starved, how he's in the cold, how he's in the heat, how he was in the throes of the storms of the seas and all of those things. He's imprisoned. He was denied freedoms and all of that. And brother, you know what he said? I'll carry it all. I'll take the pain for the glory of the Lord. Amen. And that's exactly what he did. Jesus is in a far deeper place than Paul ever thought about being. Jesus is about to bear the sin debt of the entirety of mankind. He's about to carry that whole load. And he realizes during this that his Father in heaven, that he's always contacted, that he's always been in communion with, that he's always been able to converse with, buddy, something's about to happen, and God's going to turn his back on his very son. I mean, that's heavy. That's heavy. It's tough down here when your friends let you down. It's tough when your family says no or doesn't want to help or whatever. But man, can you imagine the God of heaven turning his back? And you remember what Jesus cries when he's on the cross? My God, why hast thou forsaken me? Amen? And that's what Jesus does. But I want you to notice, he's going through the pain. But then I want you to notice, he does make, in that time of submission, the prayer. It says that he took these three men with him, Peter, the two sons of Zebedee, that's John, and his brother. But as they began to go with him, it says he began to be sorrowful and very heavy. Then he saith unto them, my soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death. Tarry ye here and watch with me. And he went on a little further, and he fell on his face and prayed, saying, oh, my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. Wow. Look over in verse 42. And he went away again the second time and prayed, saying, oh, my Father, if this cup may not pass away from me, except I drink it, thy will be done. I mean, Jesus is here bringing himself into the submission of his Father. This is something. And physically, man, this physical body didn't want to go through that. But he knew that it had to be done. And he just submitted himself to the Father. You know, we get busy and praying and we say, oh God, I want you to do this and I want you to do that. And we try to kind of run God into some place. And I was reading something that some fellow, they was asking him about praying. And he said, I do not pray as you think I pray. He said, I simply come and I say, God, may I do your will. Buddy, that's the best. I mean, sometimes we come in trying to plan things for God or tell him how we're going to do it or how he's going to do it. No, it isn't that. You just simply bring yourself and pray and say, God, here I am, and whatever you want done. I mean, isn't that how Jesus is praying? Jesus is praying this way. He said, oh, my Father, if it's possible, let this pass. But if not, your will be done. I mean, that's real prayer. It's when you say, I'm submitting myself to your will and to your purposes. Amen? And that's what Jesus is doing. He says, oh, my Father. You see, in that prayer where you say what he says, oh, my Father. We talked about this, how that Jesus before had prayed and talked about the Father. Here he's again saying, oh, my Father. That's the person that you and I are to pray unto, just like Jesus did, pray unto the Father. But I want you to notice, he makes his plea during this prayer. He makes his plea. God, if it can pass, then please let. But if not, he says, let me tell you, here's the plan. I am ready to do thy will. That's praying. Amen? But second of all, let's look at this, if you will. You see that he makes submission to his Father. Second of all, I want you to notice the submission that he makes to his future. He's making a submission to his future. Now, as I say, it's looking bad. If you'll, when you look at Luke, in the Gospel of Luke, it talks about Jesus praying in this first part, praying after all this is going on. It said, and then an angel came and ministered unto him. He needed some strength to even be able to pray. Can I tell you, God's still got some ministering angels that can come and bless me and you, even in our times of prayer. Amen? Even in our times of prayer, even in our times of deep need, and in our times of impossibilities to the thing that we say, when you get down and pray and say, God, I don't know, I have no idea, I'm submitting myself to your will and your purpose, I'm glad he's got some angels that can come down and can strengthen you and help you and bless you and lift you up in that place where you need to be. Amen? He can do that. Amen? He's got some. It's not those little old bitty fat, funny looking things that people got pictures of or little whatnots around. That's not it, brother. These are some angels that God has in heaven that can come down and do for you that no one else can do. Amen. You remember when Jesus is in the wilderness and he's been tempted of the devil? It said then the angels came and they ministered unto him. They helped him in the times of temptation, in the times of problem, in the times of trouble. Thank God, aren't you glad he can do that for me and you too. Amen. So Jesus gets ready now to submit to his future. I want you to notice here, we'll call this the asking of it. Look in verse number 39. He said, oh my Father, listen, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. I mean, he's looking to the future and he understands. But I want you to see, man, he's willing to submit, but he said, God, if there was any other way to do this, I sure would be glad for it. You ever been there and prayed like that? God, if there's any other way to do this, please show it to me. Please let that happen, because I see how this is looking. Got a pretty good idea where it's heading, and I'm not real ready for that to come my way. I don't like this. Amen? I don't like it. You ever been to a place where you just didn't like something that you saw coming at you and you knew it was coming, but you just, I don't want this. But you look up and say, God, but you know what? It's not whether I want it or not. It's whether it's in your will or not. And let me just tell you, sometimes, you know, it's real easy to read it in a book and talk about it and all that. You get down there where that rubber meets that road, and it's tough, okay? It's hard. I mean, it's a stressful thing when those issues become a reality in your life, and you've got to ask God. And can I tell y'all something, buddy? I'm glad when God hears and answers prayer and gives that sweet peace that we're singing about here tonight. Peace, peace, wonderful peace. Coming down from the Father. Thank God, I'm glad when he answers that prayer and gives that peace. Amen? Hey, but you notice Jesus and his asking about this. But I want you to see that Jesus in that even lets us know that there is his acceptance of it. He says in verse number 39, not as I will, nevertheless not as I will, but as thou wilt. Verse 42, he said, let it pass from me, except I drink it. He said, thy will be done. I've accepted it. I've said, God, whatever it is that you're doing, I don't know. I wish it could be another way. I would probably plan it another way. I'd think of it another way. But I've got to just say, God, I'm submitting myself to you and your plan and your purpose, and I need you here tonight. Amen? Hey, That's our lives. We don't understand. I'll tell you something, buddy. You live in a stinking world. I mean, it's rotten. It's horrible. There's stuff that goes on in this world, and I don't like it, and you don't like it. And we see it, and the devil's active, and the devil's doing crazy stuff every day. And you and I, we just have to simply realize, I'm looking up, and I know Jesus is going to come. I know Jesus is taking care of all of this. There's stuff going on. I don't like it. But you know what I got to do? I got to say, God, I'm going to accept your will. And if this is your will, let's get with it and get it on. Amen? I mean, that's kind of crude, I guess. But that's exactly what we ought to do. Is say, God, this is your will. Let's just find out about it. And let's get in there with it. But I want you to notice this. I notice this more than probably anything about the other people there. He's got John, he's got James, he's got Peter there with him. And I want you to notice, in the submission to Jesus' future, I want you to notice the apathy that there is to it. Jesus went to his disciples, brought those three men with him, and he told them, he said, verse 38, "My soul is exceeding sorrowful unto death." Even unto death. "Tarry ye here and watch with me." And notice what it says in verse 40. "And he cometh unto his disciples and findeth them asleep. And he saith unto Peter, What? Could you not watch with me 1 hour? He said, Watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. And he went away again the second time and he prayed." Verse 43. "And he came and found them asleep again, for their eyes were heavy. And he left them and went away again and prayed the third time, saying the same word. And then cometh he to his disciples, and he saith to them, Sleep on now." Three times that Jesus came to them and he found them asleep. I'm telling you, the sleepiness, the lackadaisicalness, the laziness, the sorriness of us. Amen. I mean, our just silly, goofy, uncaring, apathetic ways. We need to wake up. We need to wake up. Jesus comes and said, "Look, could you not watch with me?" Do you know what Jesus was? Jesus is out here praying. He's in an agony. He's burdened. He is loaded. He is in a place of pressure. And all he's asked them to do is just sit and watch and pray. And you see what? They can't even do that. They're so weak. They're so messed up spiritually. He said, "The spirit indeed is weak, but your flesh is weak." I want to tell you something. Your flesh is weak too. Amen? Your flesh is just like mine. There's times you think, "Well, I'm going to do this and I'm going to do that for God." And then all of a sudden, "Well, you know, the ball game's on." Or, I gotta go find something, fill up my belly and get me a little bit more fatter. Somebody say amen right there. I mean, we think we got to do all this stuff. And I'm telling you, your flesh is weak. Your flesh is weak. You might have had a good intention. But I'm telling you, our follow-through is about like there. Well, go over there and fall asleep. Amen? I mean, that's about the way we are. I was kidding Lynn here. I guess it's today. We was talking about at some point we'd kind of like to maybe get some different chairs up here for these big chairs, get something a little different. And we saw some recliners. Amen, Brother Ronnie. I said, "We could get two of these." And I'd sit up here and go to sleep. Kick her back and I'd be snoring for too long, right? I'm just telling you, that's how weak we are. We're pitiful when it comes to those things. But I'm telling you, Jesus is looking at them. And he said, "All I'm asking you to do is watch with me. To watch out for the devil. Watch out for temptation. Watch out for the bad things that can come. Watch out." I mean, he just tells them to watch and pray. And they can't even do that. Isn't that a pitiful bunch of people? But that's the way we are. Wait, watch, and pray. That's all they got to do. And we're not even doing that. Apathetic. So you see his submission, but their apathy. All right. Last of all, look at this, if you will. His submission to his foes. I want you to notice what it says in verse 45. "Then cometh he to his disciples, and he saith to them, Sleep on now, and take your rest. Behold, the hour is at hand, and the Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. Rise, let us be going. Behold, he is at hand that doth betray me. I want you to notice this. First of all, Jesus says, the hour is at hand. Jesus knows what time it is. He knows what time it is. He knows that this is the time when there's a thing about to transpire where those individuals are going to come and take him. He knows. He said, look, guys, I've tried to get you to stay awake and pray and watch with him. You can't even do that. He said, but you just sleep on now. He said, because the hour is at hand. There's a time coming at hand, and it is here. If you'll remember when we were reading in John chapter 17, Jesus tells them that he knew that the hour had come. Brother, he knew the time. I don't think we know the time. I think sometimes you and I look around and they say, well, Jesus is going to come, but it won't be today. You better wake up. Amen. You better look around. The hour is here. The time is now. The day is running. Paul said, hey, it's high time that we awake out of our sleep. I mean, you need to rouse yourself up and realize, hey, Jesus is coming at any second now. Amen. Oh, I'm telling you now. I'm not going to try to get too political, but hey, if you paid any attention yesterday at all to the things that happened in our country, that ought to be a wake-up call for a lot of us, shouldn't it? Now, I'm not trying to say get into your politics. I don't care how you voted, and it ain't none of my business. But I'm telling you, when you begin to see some of the things going on in the United States of America and how some things are beginning to change that people said, oh, we'll never forget, we won't ever give up, and we won't ever do. Hey, and brother, things begin to happen. You better wake up, but thank God I'm telling you as a Christian, look up, amen, because Jesus is coming soon. Jesus said, the hour is at hand. This time is coming for all of this to come. And he'd been trying to tell them. Ever since chapter 13 in the book of John, chapter 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, Jesus is trying to tell them, I am leaving here. Most of you know John 14, 1. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. You believe in God, believe also in me. He said, in my Father's house are many mansions. But we're not so, I would have told you. He said, I go away to prepare a place for you that where I am, there you may be also. He said, I'm leaving. I'm leaving out of here. He said, but later on in that chapter and into the next chapter, he said, but I'm not going to leave you comfortless. I'm going to pray the Father. He's going to send the Holy Ghost, the Comforter, down here, and he's going to help you while you're here in this life. But Jesus tells him right now, the hour of my leaving you is at hand. But not only does he say the hour is at hand, I want you to notice this. He says, my betrayal is at hand. You see what he said? Behold, the hour is at hand, verse 45. And the Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. Man, are you sure, preacher? Jesus is going to be betrayed into the hands of sinners? Yep, he is. Look at verse number 48. Now he that betrayed him gave them a sign, saying, whomsoever I shall kiss, the same is he, hold him fast. And forthwith he came to Jesus, and he said, hail, master, and kissed him. And Jesus said unto him, friend, wherefore art thou come? Then came they and laid hands on Jesus and took him. Betrayed. The hour of betrayal. I want to tell you something. Man, sometimes you and I think, hey, the worst thing is, you know, people turned on me and they betrayed me and they blah, 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 done all that. Jesus was betrayed. But do you see how he handled it? Judas said, the one that I give a kiss to. He gave a sign of affection to somebody, really, that he had no affection for at all. He acted like he loved Jesus, but there was nothing. Jesus knew it all along. Jesus knew who was going to betray him. Matter of fact, at the dinner where they got together there in John 13 and Judas leaves, Jesus knew who it was. All the other disciples said, Lord, is it me? Jesus said, it's going to be the one that I know who he is. There's one here that's going to betray me, and I know who he is. He knew, and he knew the betrayal was at hand. He knew, and you see, Jesus called him friend. Even at this time when Judas was a stinking, rotten turncoat on the things of the Lord, came up and kissed Jesus on the cheek, and Jesus received him and said, "Friend, wherefore art thou come? What are you doing here? Why did you come here?" And then they took him. Wow. I'm telling you, what a friend. As somebody said, boy, if you got friends like that, I mean, who needs any enemies, right? I mean, betrayal that is at hand. And the last thing I want you to see is that there are soldiers that are at hand. It says, and while he yet spake to Judas, verse 47, and while he yet spake, lo, Judas, one of the 12, came, and with him a great multitude with swords and staves from the chief priests and the elders of the people. Now he that betrayed him gave him a sign, saying, whomsoever I shall kiss, the same hold him, same as he, hold him fast. And he said, Jesus said, friend, wherefore art thou come? Then came they, and they laid hands on Jesus, and they took him. They laid their hands on the doorway to heaven, and they took him away to a phony trial, took him away to an imprisonment, took him away to a beating, took him away to put him on the cross. And Jesus knew every bit of that was at hand. But as I'm saying, Jesus was simply what? Submitted. You see, through this, you see that one of them, and we later learn one of the other Gospels, it's Peter. Peter takes his sword out and tries to attack one of those men that are there to get Jesus. And he cuts his ear off. Guy probably dodges and he cuts that ear. Jesus says, Peter, put that sword up. We don't need that. Reaches down, gets the ear, puts it back on. The Bible said that he healed him. As you go on and look at that, you'll see how that Jesus was there on the cross. And he said, Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. I'm just telling you, there's a lot of ways that we see that Jesus was in submission. At this very time, when they come and take him, they ask him who he is, and he tells them, I am he, and they all fall backwards on the ground, and yet he allows them to get up and to take him away. When he's there at the cross, he said, I could presently call up in heaven for 12 legions of angels, and my Father would send them. But he didn't do that. I'm telling you, he submitted himself to the wicked, perverted, devilish crowd of this world, because he knew that that was the only way to pay my sin debt and yours. Amen? But aren't you glad Jesus, as the songwriter said, Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain, but he washed it white as snow. Amen? Jesus submits himself in this prayer and says, Father, not my will, but thine. Amen. Brother Ronnie, come on. Let's get ready to sing a song tonight, if you will.